Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink, who is just arriving for last week's show, actually.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah,
she had the cooties.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Are you cootie-free this week?
I'm cootie-free this week.
So Patty's here to interview Doris. We're here to interview Joey Santos, who is a celebrity chef. We'll explain what that even means. It is pledge drive, and Doc is on the phone, and I think we decided we needed a new name for Josh or Chris because he has his writer identity. He has his Beth Elbanai identity as Josh. His work where he teaches at the college, that's Chris again, mm-hmm. but different last name. So I was thinking maybe Bill Johnson.
So John
our board
Smith.
Operator, our board operator is Bill Johnson.
Let's call him DJJ.
DJ
Josh.
Well, not Josh, because we're already using Josh. Well, anyway, it is pledge drive. We'll decide this off air. Ah, Joey.
Yes.
Your partner wasn't taken by green people
the late
like you thought.
Andrew Hahn.
Right.
Is he a friend of yours?
We're just wondering.
Could be.
We thought we were abducted. Yeah. We have a studio full of people today. Today is pledge drive, though. It's the beginning of our November pledge drive, and we need you to give us a call. The number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Give us a call and pledge to support one of the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio shows on anywhere in the world. We've been on for 31
years.
Thank you.
And now we also have another title to add.
Yes.
Best Radio Talk Show.
Best Radio Talk Show in Dallas, according to the Dallas Observer. We won this year.
Wow.
Help keep us on the air so that you don't have to listen to those... How should we say it? Let's be polite. Those crappy talk shows on the other stations. Is that being polite?
Yes.
It's very tactful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm always trying to be tactful because that's what we do here.
Yep.
But give us a call. We are the oldest, longest running gay and lesbian radio show. We've talked gay issues since 1983 when we weren't even thinking about same-sex marriage, and now we have almost all the states except for Texas, and we are working hard here. Joey's from California.
Yes.
Well, we're related to gay too now.
Not too late,
but I mean for California.
Well, you had it
when you think about
you had it, you took it away,
you are with everything,
got it back,
you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's typical, though. You can't make up your mind in L.A. for the attention span of a gnat. Oh, yeah, we'll get married. No, let's take that away.
We're working very hard here. We want to be 50th because there's no glory in being number 48.
Right.
We're figuring Mississippi will cave in on a Monday or a Tuesday. Texas can hold out till Wednesday. We want to be number 50. Mm-hmm. There's just no glory in being...
Glory.
Third from last.
Our competition really, though, isn't all that stiff. We've got Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi.
Tamby states.
Yeah, we can be last.
Yeah,
we can absolutely be last.
I think we can hold up.
Yeah, they need a push, don't they, a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I think Louisiana will give us some competition.
Well, they might because they won that lawsuit.
They did.
It's the only state that won a lawsuit. Anyway, it's pledge drive. Give us a call, 972. Us getting off topic, 972-647-1893. Bill Johnson and Doc are standing by. Listen, my schizophrenic little friend here. What? If you don't like that name, we'll come up with a different name for him, but he can't have the same personality here.
Hey, when you call in with your pledge at 972-647-1893, you can suggest a name for
Josh.
Name Josh.
Yes.
Or Chris.
That'll work. 972-647-1893. Give us a call. Joey is here. Let's talk to Joey. Yeah.
Hi, Joey.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Now, when Bob Williams from Ranch Hand Rescue, who was on our show last week with Doris Roberts, when he was here, he explained you were coming in for this fundraiser with Doris that was last night. Do you know how much money they raised?
I'm not quite sure. I think they're still tallying it up. But we had a really good start. They did a lot of silent auctions, went very well.
Mm-hmm.
The live auctions went
extremely well.
And then they were able to start asking for just blank, you know, people just writing a check just for no reason at all, and a lot of people did, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did, which was smart, was they brought it down to a real level, too, where they took donations for $100 or $50. And a lot of people just raised their hands and just sent that out there, too. And then they sold the
which
little...
is something that you can do here at KNON.
Yes.
Just write us a check for $50 or $100. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Thank you for bringing
but
that
also,
up.
But also, the large amounts are welcome here as well, aren't
right.
they?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, so they did cute things like that. And they had the little horses, mm-hmm. you know, which they sold for $50 a piece. And
stuffed horses. Not stuffed. Not little.
Yeah, not little real.
Not
horses.
Midnight.
Not midnight. Live
no.
horses, no.
But little stuffed horses, you know, that represent mm-hmm. the cause. So I think they were very smart about it. You know, I've
sure.
been to a lot of events, a lot of charity events. And most recently, which was, I don't even know if I should even tell you this, but I had done a charity event where I was being auctioned off as the
uh-huh.
chef, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so the person that was emceeing didn't have all the facts quite straight. You know, so the introduction was, you know, completely out of left field. And the bidding started at one amount, you know, and a rather low amount at that, you know, if I do say so.
You should at least have a starting bid of, well, you know, I mean, something substantial.
Yeah, but I mean, at least $1,000 or $2,000 is a decent bid, but I mean $500. And so, and now there was a set of luggage that was also being auctioned off, and that bid started at $750. So I was pissed that I... And that luggage went for almost $2,800, and I got stuck somewhere in the middle of that, and I said, okay, something's got to change. So I was very fortunate with this. I was hesitant to be auctioned off again. I said, listen.
You know what? We've
auctioned, I'm not going to lose to a suitcase.
We've auctioned off Laurent, and he went for $25. So.
Well, listen, if it was a Louis Vuitton bag or you know, Gucci, I could you know, succeed. But Samsonite?
Yeah.
No yeah. wheels. Powder blue.
Universal key.
Set.
Okay, so last night, here's something that happened. One of the live auction items was Dinner for 10 with Joey and Doris Roberts.
Right.
And
pretty good deal.
It did.
She's
that's
a celebrity guest. She'll
yeah.
come,
yeah.
You know.
They're going to fly in specially for this again because
yeah.
they both live in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The bidding was going on, and it wasn't going up high enough, so Doris got
up. It started
up.
At $3.
Yeah, exactly. Doris got up and basically started doing a striptease on the dance floor, and she got it up to $6,000.
She got it up?
She got it up.
Oh, sorry.
To $6,000. But two people bid on it.
It's not just a chef, everybody.
Two people bid on it, and the two of them agreed to come in twice for two different dinners. Which was
wow.
very nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was very nice.
And that was just an ankle. A cankle. I mean an ankle.
Wow.
That she showed. Yeah.
So that's what we need. We need somebody to strip for Lambda Weekly.
We do.
On the radio. Strip on the radio.
Strip on the radio. And
Bill?
Bill? Okay. There
I might
you go.
Actually raise money if no one sees me.
Give us a call at 972-647-1893 and tell us who you want to strip.
972-647-1893.
Along with the donation.
And the phones aren't ringing. So let's give that number again.
And I say for a $1,000 donation, you can rename all of us.
Sure.
Right.
That'll
yeah.
work. 972-647-1893. Joey, when Bob didn't explain to us who you were and what you did.
I still am.
Very well.
Yeah.
We were thinking celebrity chef with celebrity, you know, like a celebrity chef who has one of these TV shows
like on
know.
Food Network
yeah.
or something.
And that's right. not what you're talking about at all. You're an actual chef who's doing actual cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I've never been was that guy with the white jacket, you know, the chef jacket. I refuse to wear it at work. You know, my thing
you
in life
do it topless?
I do it just an apron.
just an apron.
Just an apron. Dangerous.
Speaking of aprons.
For $40,
that's one of our pledge premiums, a KNON apron.
There you go.
972-647-1893.
What is it that you actually do for people?
Well, I have I'm lucky enough now to have clients, and most of my clients are in show business, you know, and a lot of them are well-known and celebrity. And I have a couple of different businesses of what I do for work. So I am a celebrity chef. In other words, my clients are celebrity, and I do their parties, I do their meal plans, or I'll do their in-house cooking. So a lot of it is as needed, for depending on what their schedule are. Some I travel with, some I do on a regular basis. And I manage to my time very well, so I'm able to have like a 5-day-a-week client out in Malibu, and then I have my clients in Beverly Hills on the weekends when I'm off, and then I schedule their events when I can. So people like Gwyneth Paltrow, I've cooked for Barbara Streisand in the past, so I've had a really good range
on the show.
Of people. And actually, the client in Beverly Hills, we are neighbors with her, so I see her quite often.
Oh, that's all. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So tell us how you got started in this. Did you go to culinary school or just learn at home?
Yeah, I did own two restaurants in my career so far. One was, I was really young at the time. The first one, I was about 25 years old, and I didn't know anything about it. You know, all I knew is that I had an idea. And I found a great location in L.A., which was a hot spot, you know. And I built it from the bottom up. My brother and I were partners in it, and we called it El Mocambo. It was a throwback to Havana pre-Castro. So we brought back, you know, all that, the food and the ambiance of Havana and its grandeur and its heyday and stuff like that. And it went incredibly well, and people still talk about it. We had everybody from Elizabeth Taylor to Whoopi Goldberg to, you know, all the Gabors, because they were all alive then.
You're right.
Totally right on down. And it was an incredible spot, and that lasted about 4 years. But like I said, we were both kids. We were both young, and we were able to pull it off. And then he went back to being a filmmaker, and I became an actor. And then I failed miserably at that, so I decided I didn't have the passion for it, you know. And so what I loved to do was entertain, and so within that, I started kind of catering a little bit and throwing parties, and then I started teaching myself. So I never went to culinary school, but I am self-taught. And I still consider myself learning, and I'm still burning, you know, so to speak. So I think it's important. I think everything you do is for just to get better at something else. I never want to be – that's why I don't wear the coat. I think once I put that coat on, then I'll start doing something else.
Right. You know?
Because then I that in my mind, that tells me I've stopped learning, and I think I know it all. I don't, never want to be that kind of guy. We sure as I don't want to be that kind of
chef.
We
have somebody on the line. Hi, Doris. Are you there? Doris, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Doris. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Very good. Joey doesn't have headphones, so we're just giving him headphones. Okay, there you are. And you can talk to Joey. Last night, we loved your striptease for your dinner.
Can you talk louder? I can hardly hear you.
You can't hear us. Okay. We're just adjusting a couple of things. Last night, we just loved your striptease to sell your dinners.
Yeah, we made a lot of money on that
you
one.
You did.
Didn't we?
And I told him that was just your ankle. Had you shown your elbow, just think what we could have brought in. Or that big toe. I remember that big toe. That would have been good for 20 grand at least.
Yeah, last night was very successful, though.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and you'll be back next year.
People can still send money in now, you know.
Yeah, so you'll be back next year for it again.
We'll be next year. And then I'm going to have to come back to go to the two dinners that they bid on.
Yep. We got to organize that when we get back to L.A.
I got to lose a little weight because I'm going to put too much weight back on.
We'll plan the menu accordingly.
Okay, great.
I love you. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
Thank you for calling, honey.
Okay, honey.
Yeah, when are you going back to L.A.?
I'm going back tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
No, I'm not. I'm going to Florida tomorrow. I'm going to be on the Love Boat. That's the Love Boat series.
Uh-huh.
Well, they've invited me. They have a new ship, and they've invited a lot of actors and actresses who did the Love Boat as actors, and we're going to celebrate this new ship. So I'm going to Fort Lauderdale to do that tomorrow.
Great. Well, you have a good time.
Hold on just a minute. Okay, honey. Okay. Pass the phone to Bob Williams, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
bye, Doris.
Bye, honey.
Okay, Bob?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, David. I want to thank you for your support of Ranch End Rescue. And while Joey's in the studio, I love you, Joey, and thank you for everything that you have done for us. You are an amazing man.
Appreciate that. Thank you. And you are, too. And your organization is as well. So I'll always be there to support that, you know.
Thank you. And I got to tell you, he's about the best chef in the country, so he's worth flying into Dallas for everybody that's listening. He's really quite amazing.
Good. Bob, do you know how much you raised last night?
Over $100,000.
Over $100,000.
Wow.
Great.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Great. That's great.
Thank you.
And we need.
Yeah, Doris just said, let's make it $200,000.
Well, she brought a checkbook.
Said you brought your checkbook.
Right. I can't find a pen.
We have pens. And in fact, for a $25 donation, you can get a KNON pen.
Well, you guys have fun. We're listening here at home, and this is Joey's moment. So thanks again for all your support of my organization and all the kids you helped. And I look forward to getting Joey involved too, David, in some of our work that we can do with the GLBT community in Dallas. It'll be amazing.
Great.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless.
And what we were referring to is it is pledge drive here. So last night, Ranch Hand Rescue raised $100,000. We'd like to raise $1,000. And like you said, you have to ask big. You can't ask for too little.
Right.
So
when it comes to a charity, we've all got to be size queens. There's no... You know, there's no other way about it.
Well said.
Yeah.
And very fitting for this show. I like that.
972-647-1893. We will take a $40 donation. You can get a T-shirt. You can get an apron. There are a number of different pledge premiums that we have at that cost. But we'd love somebody to make a donation of $1,000, which really would get us through this whole pledge period for our show. You'll get a studio plaque, 15 by 7 inch gold plaque on a wood frame. It'll be right up there on the studio wall. Everybody sees them when they come into the studio. But you know that you've helped community radio, specifically Lambda Weekly. So 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. After 30 years, now that I actually remember that phone number, I say it too fast, and people always tell me that after pledge drive. What was that number? You said it 50 times, and you said it too fast. 972-647-1893, and Doc is taking a call. So why don't we just go to our break, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly with Joey Santos right after this.
This is Janice McCall from TCU, and I listen to Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. And our guest is Joey Santos. He is a celebrity chef from California who happens to be in town for Ranch Hand Rescue's big fundraiser that was last night. And for Lambda Weekly's big fundraiser, which is today, it is Pledge Drive, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We have a number of pledge premiums, but we know that you donate just because you want to hear Patty when she's here. And not so late.
Well, and if you'd love to support us and keep us on the air, we've been on continuously now since August of 1983. We'd like to keep going. And for many, many years, we were the voice of the LGBT community in North Texas. And so you have an opportunity now to support us and keep us on the air. And that's really important that you send in your pledge or call in with your pledge. You can also do it online. You can go to knon.org, click on the pledge button. And you know, if you can't spell Lambda Weekly, put in the line LW or that gay show or whatever you'd like to do. And we have guests.
We not only have guests, we have pledgers.
We have pledgers.
We love when they come.
We love it when they
thank
come.
You.
They always bring in the cash for the shows we like.
You do. Oh.
And
you
I've
do.
Cooked for you before.
You have cooked for me before. But that's only a semi...
Thank you.
Real tangential celebrity chef cooking.
If you'll go out there and
go, talking to the mic.
If you'll go out there and stop stripping, start stripping, we'll bid. I've got a really nice boyfriend that's really a boyfriend, and he can't strip.
Who says David can?
Well, the ball's in your park, David.
It is. So we're doing our striptease. This is radio. 972-647-1893. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you all very much.
And that is, you can make a donation from through... by sending a check, by writing, using a credit card. I can't talk today.
You can also do a bank draft, which is a really great way to support the station because it's a sustaining member of of the station, so to speak. So if you give your $10 every month, give up a couple of Starbucks and do a bank draft and you don't even miss it, you know, when in your account, it's, you know, you don't miss it every week.
Or
so.
You can do what our good friends here did, which is just come by the studio and drop off some cash.
That's some always welcome.
Some good cold cash.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. Joey, we're just talking a little bit about your career. How did you get started doing what you do?
Well, at this point, you know, what I do now, mm-hmm. as far as cooking and stuff.
How did
like
it
that,
evolve to that?
It started, like I said, I became an actor for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was actually doing a TV series called NYPD Blue, which mm-hmm. I played a cop. And that ran about, for me, I did about a season and a half. And I found myself looking at my watch. And coming from a show business family, my dad's an actor. And, you know, I
Your
saw,
dad has an impressive resume.
Yeah, well, he's done about 150 films, yep. actually. Yep. And knowing that application, you know, what it takes to be an actor and how that passion is what drives you, I knew that if I was looking at my watch, that that wasn't for me. And I called him. I called him actually from the set, and I said, Dad, I'm looking at my watch. And he immediately said, find something you love, because that's not... Mm-hmm. This is not for you, and don't waste your time and the time of people that would have studied for that job, have would kill for that job, for that opportunity. And I stopped, and then I didn't know what I wanted to do, you know. And so I took a little time to myself, but I knew that I always loved to be around people. I love having parties. I mean, that's part of who I am. It's in that is in my DNA, you know. And so I, strangely enough, was asked to do a party for Norman Lear. And he had
legendary Norman Lear.
Legendary.
Yeah. His chef, Rhonda Kite, who had been with him for a long time, she and I were acquaintances, and she knew that I had done some of these things, and they were throwing some big party, and they needed help. So she had asked me to jump in with her. And so I worked with her on that, and then I started working her quite often at Mr. Lear's, and to the point where I really learned and started to hone that part of it. Mm-hmm. And then she would go away, and then the Lears would have me do their party. So that's how I really got introduced to that aspect, because through Norman and his wife, I was able to cook for amazing people, Warren Beatty and Annette Bening and Elizabeth Taylor, and I really started developing these relationships.
And Barbara Streisand, bring along with you today. Thank you very much.
Sorry, she was busy. She was taking a walk on the beach. No, she actually, a very funny story to tell you about the first time I met Barbra Streisand. But through him and his parties, I was able to make these other relationships and connections. And then I started to develop my own style and my own way of, you know, doing it. And then I got very lucky, and I started to build that business. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I built another restaurant later on. And that's when everything changed for me. That's when I said, I want to work to live. Because with the restaurant business, you live to work. You know, and your life is compromised, and your relationships are compromised. And at the end of the day, you know, you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of people that are kind of stealing from you, that you can't trust, and then you're pleasing people that you're never going to please, because it's in that's the nature of that beast. So I gave all that up. And now I pick my clients. I'm happy as clam, and I make good money, and I have a good time.
You don't have to throw out any names, but one of the stereotypes... Well, you could if you want to. The stereotypes of celebrities is they're all prima donnas and very demanding and very picky. How is that? How is that really when it comes to making their food?
The celebrities are not prima donnas. The people that want to be celebrities are prima donnas. I've always found in everything, the more successful you are, the more talented you are, the more beautiful you are, the smarter you are, the less you have to pretend to, you know, to have a fit or do any of that other stuff.
And it really, what we have to say to you, thank you.
Whatever.
You know, there are egos that are out of whack, and it's not exclusive to being a celebrity or being a famous person or an actor or anything.
In business.
You know, there are jerks that are that sweep floors, you know, that think they're who knows what. You know, that has no place in this world, not with all the things that mean something. You know, so the beauty of what I do is that I'm privileged to meet these people and to be in their homes and to share parts of their life and to, you know, make them happy. But that's what I do for anybody, you know. So if the guy across the street wanted me to cook him dinner, I wouldn't cook him anything less than I would for anyone else. And I would put as much love, as much time, as much passion, as much effort into it as I do in every part of my life. So that celebrity thing is only, you're only as big as you, you know.
Okay,
treat
so
people.
So the first time you met Barbara Streisand, who he did not bring along with him today.
We noted that. We're going to keep noting that, too. Yeah.
First time I met her was at an event at Norman Lear's house, and I believe it was Ted Kennedy was speaking that day. They had invited him over to the house, and they had a fundraiser there. So she had arrived late, and I had been...
After my own heart, see?
I'd been cooking and stuff, and so I had just been walking through at that point to go into another part of the house as she was rushing into the event, and she said to me right away, she said, oh, I'm late, where is everyone? So I had walked her into where they were seated. So she says, is there any more food? I'm starving. So I said, hold on, I'll get you something. So I ran to the kitchen, and I got a plate of these great shrimp that we had prepared, these coconut shrimp, whatever, and I served it to her, and so she got it, and then she found, later on, she found me. She came into the kitchen. She says, you know something? Did you make that shrimp? And I said...
That was great.
That was great.
I'm thinking to myself, did I make that shrimp? Do I say yes to this? So I said, yeah, I did make the shrimp. She says, they were very good. And I said, well, thank you. And she said, and you know what? You're very nice. And I don't know, I could have killed myself at this point, but I went, and so are you. And I could have went either way. I could have just been like, that's it. I'm never gonna, you know, hear the end of this one. And it turned out that she laughed, and we became very friendly.
Okay, now she has this reputation,
not
right?
True.
But she has a reputation.
Yeah, oh yeah, that part's
okay,
true.
So I've done a number of TV shows, movies over the years. It's been my hobby. And I've always just done it for fun.
Get this. He plays a sportscaster. Sports reporter.
I was a sports reporter on Friday Night Lights, yes.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, like the Mavericks beat the Stars.
Right, right.
You
know, exactly. Okay, so first thing I did was The Way We Were.
Uh-huh.
It was filmed, the college scenes were filmed near my school in Schenectady, New York. And, you know, this is the 70s, and they didn't have all the digital everything. They were using actual cables, actual, like a board as old as this one that we use here in the studio. They couldn't get the sound to work. And it was a bunch of college kids who were the extras in the scene where she's, you know, rabble-rousing and calling. Do you know, Barbara Streisand put on a performance to keep all of us occupied and there for like 2 hours till they got the sound going.
Yeah,
just because she was that devoted to, no, I want everybody to stay. And she just sang, and everybody just sat.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things. You know, she's a woman, and she's a powerful woman, and she's a brilliant woman. She's, you know, everything that she does is, and she's a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. So there's always that, there's still that stupid thing that carries over. Once a woman wants something done a certain way or insists on that she's not, you know, all of a sudden she's problematic or she's a diva, which I hate that word. But, you know, all of those things that go along with it. But every successful man that wants something done is praised for it.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, I want to be just like him, and I want to do things like that, and that's the way you get things done. But
this was just...
And a CEO of a global corporation who's female, who's a woman and behaves like a man in that same position is called bitchy.
Yeah, true. You listen, if
that's what we call you, Patty.
I know. Look, see? Perfect example.
If a woman were president, there would be no wars. There'd just be a lot of angry, jealous countries that wouldn't talk to each other, but there would be no wars.
I agree.
And those countries might dress better.
But just getting back to Barbara in that sense, no, she is exactly that. She's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
She is an amazing talent, and she is probably one of
the most
genuine...
But she didn't have to do this at all. I mean,
absolutely not.
You know, she could have just gone and said, well, we'll wait. You know, not a problem.
And you would have, because people would have expected that. Too, they would have thought, well, she would never
take me back to my trailer.
You know,
well, not, you know, not even if she was sitting off to the side, but to actually sing,
engage,
you know, and it wasn't a nonstop performance, but you know, she was just singing and having a good time, and everybody was, you know, and the hours just passed until they could get.
But you know, the interesting thing
working,
about celebrity, which a lot of people don't understand, is that we as a public, you know, that watch them and buy their records and, you know, go to their movies and everything. And we know everything about them. And then we come up to them and we act like, oh, my God, like it's a long-lost sister or brother or father or mother, whatever. And that person has never seen you before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are a complete stranger. And a lot of them are very shy. And also, that's terrifying. Has it ever happened to you that somebody on the street thinks they know you and they're all over and you're like, what, did I sleep with you last night? Or who are you? You know, I mean, that's terrifying. So, and if they react in a way that, like, just naturally that you would, like, dude, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. And then the person goes, well, she's a mess. Mm-hmm. Or she's, you know, a diva, or he's a jerk. And they're like, I don't know this person. It's scary. You know, so we have to remember that. It's how you approach people. You have to use that same basic principle, mm-hmm. whether they're Barbara Streisand or whether they're Joe the Butcher. You know, that mm-hmm. familiarity can breed contempt, and it's respect, and you have to be able to approach a person like a human being if you want to have anything sure. reflected back at you. It's simple.
Yeah. And now, obviously, these range of celebrities have different tastes in food. Are you versed in various different, like...
Am I versatile?
Oh, well. That's another
is that
show.
What you're leading to?
We have somebody else here in the studio who can answer
who can
that.
Answer that.
Now, are you talking versatile and limber?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
hiding his face.
Oh, food, like Chinese food.
Yes,
food.
I can...
Mexican food.
I'm an equal opportunity cook, yeah.
Great.
The question should be, what's your signature dish?
Well, you know, that's the hardest question to answer for me because I no longer have that, you know. I mean, I think my signature would be that everything is really fresh and I try and use as much organic product as I can and to keep food as clean and simple as possible. Like I said earlier, I'm not interested in, you know, in reinventing a food group or inventing a new food group or finding something so obscure and trying to make that into... I just want clean, healthy, great, fresh food so you feel good about eating it during and after, as I do in preparing it and picking it. And I very seldom choose my menus or plan my menus ahead of time. I know my clients. I know what they love. I know what they won't have. And I try and find inspiration everywhere I go and everybody I meet. I just get up in the morning and I may have something in my head, kind of. Then I'll go to the market and I'll throw it all together. But I love playing with different, fusing different things like Indian, and I love Asian, and I love Southern food. So, I mean, and I have my best friend since I was 9 years old, and he lives in Kentucky, and he has taught me so many great things about killer fried chicken. I know how to make greens and hot water cornbread and all these great, you know, things, which I didn't grow up with. You know, I grew up in Malibu.
What's your phone number?
You can come over anytime.
You know, it's too bad you missed the state fair here by just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And the state fair is famous for fried everything.
On a stick.
On a stick. Yeah. Fried everything on it. Well, not turkey legs. Those don't come on a stick because
on a bone.
But everything
fried
else.
Fried butter, you know.
Yeah, I heard about the fried
fried butter. Oh, was that disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have
I've never tried that.
Oh, yeah. It was, we had to buy one.
Disgusting.
We couldn't eat it.
You'd have to eat it pretty quick, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, because it would get hard.
They've had fried ice cream. They've had...
Don't go there. Don't go there.
I'm not on there.
You know, and this is very un-Dallas of me to say this, but the food was disgusting.
Yeah, it would have to be. Yeah. I couldn't get into that. I mean, I don't even like cold butter. You know what I mean? Let alone, so if
but
you just
eating
put
a stick
bread,
of it
but,
that's been fried. It's just delicious. We do want to remind everybody it is Pledge Drive. The number here is 972-647-1893. We're off to a really good start to our Pledge Drive. Today's just the second day, but yesterday seems to have had a great day, and I know the morning gospel show had a wonderful Pledge Drive this morning. So go Gospel Hour, one of our most popular shows on the station, but we're also one of the most popular shows. Now call us and make a pledge. How's that for being ingratiating? 972-647-1893. This is my, let's say, 30 years times four pledge drives a year times two or three pledge drives. So that's 120.
So this is math, 240.
Yeah, this is like my...
Sadly, yes.
This is something like my 250th pledge drive show. I'm really enjoying it. 972. I love pledge drive. 972-64. Well, when people call, 972-647-1893. We have plenty of pledge premium. And you can talk to whoever's answering the phone, whether it's Doc or whether it's Bill, and
or Josh. I think he's still here.
Or Josh or Chris. Yeah.
And if you're listening to the podcast, there's still time to pledge. You can, you know, hopefully you're not driving when you're listening to the podcast. You can get on your computer or your device and go to KNON.org and click the Pledge Now button. Select your premium right there online. But support us. You know, $10 pledge, $50 pledge, $100 pledge. It really adds up.
And
it
just
really
write does. In either Lambda Weekly or The Gay Show, and the money will get credited toward our
or
show.
Or that crazy, crazy David. You know, put that on there, too.
That David person.
Well, yeah. But specify, because we do have another David at the station.
We have lots of them.
Yeah.
But not as crazy as ours.
Not as crazy as ours.
Dave Chaos.
Day of Chaos.
Dave Chaos, yes, he is. 972-64. He's our station manager.
But isn't he with K-A-O-S?
Yep.
Yes.
No, C-H-A-O-S.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no,
I was trying to make
it. No. No. Yeah, no. Not a different radio station. He is our station.
There is no such thing, is there?
Chaos?
No, Chaos.
Yeah, that's Get Smart's... their adversaries.
Yeah.
972. We're talking about things that Laurent is just looking at us and saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Why don't we take our break? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. Joey Santos is our guest, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is Kimberly Truax for the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. It is Pledge Drive.
972-647-1893. This would be a great time, since we're talking with Joey, to get the KNON apron. You know, it's one of my personal favorites. I even get extras to give them away as gifts. I love the apron. Big heart, the apron.
It's a nice canvas black and white apron.
Yep.
With KNON Voice of the People on it.
That's for a $40 pledge. But we have T-shirts. We have long sleeve T-shirts. It's starting to get cooler. Boy, did it drop yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the 70s and 80s and 90s to blam.
To winter.
So that would
this is winter for us.
Yeah.
Well, that would the appropriate one for that would be our KNON pullover hoodie, and it is nice, $75. And I have a new favorite. I finally got the beach towel.
Oh,
it's
I just
really
got mine
nice.
Too.
I really
do you wear
like
it to work or something?
Yes. No. I dried off my kid with it. It's that big.
It's a nice big towel.
It's a big towel.
And that's for how much of a pledge? I forgot.
$75
pledge.
Yeah, and
my
really
favorite
good.
Is still the KNON umbrella. It's the best umbrella I've ever had. That's also for a $75 pledge. But the reason we're asking you to pledge to KNON is, you know, over the years, we've had, I can't tell you how many people who've said things like, "You saved my life." I used to go riding in the car on Sunday afternoon just to listen to you, and we're thinking, really?
We have one listener who went to my alma mater, which is Baylor University in Waco, would drive every Sunday up to Hillsboro, because it's the first place he could get the signal, and would listen to the show. And it's the only thing he could get, LGBT anything.
Because,
and
believe it or not, in Waco there is no gay paper.
Exactly.
Or a gay radio show.
And in the 80s, there was really, 80s and 90s, there's really... not much.
It was really,
but was
really
it a closet thing to listen to the radio like this station?
Well, but you know something, if you're a teenager and you're still living at home and you don't know how your parents are going to react, we had kids tell us that they'd put on headphones and listen for 2 hours.
Yeah, we haven't been gone in years, but we used to go and to the gay prom held here in Dallas. It's usually held at SMU. And the kids would tell us that. They would listen to us, but in private, you know, with their headphones
with
on.
The headphones so their parents wouldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that they can hear, there are other gay people out there.
Right.
So even if you're not pledging for yourself, pledge for
someone,
other people who we're really their connection to the gay community.
Especially folks who are, you know, within listening distance of the signal, but out east of Dallas, north of Dallas-Fort Worth and west of Dallas-Fort Worth, and certainly down towards Hillsboro and such. You know, and these are their kids, their young people out there that don't have any other resources handy. They may get into a big city now and then, and they can look on the internet now, but you know, this is a great outreach.
Well, and now of course our shows are podcast and recorded podcast. Mm-hmm. There was nothing like that back in the 80s when we started.
You know, I remember being about 11 years old, and we were in New York in Manhattan in Central Park. Actually, my dad used to have a team. It was called the Broadway Show League. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of the actors, New York actors that were in film or in on
Broadway.
Broadway
shows.
They play softball.
Teams,
So as little kids, I was Al Pacino was on the team, and Robert De Niro, and they'd all play in the park. And my brother and I would come down on Sunday, and we'd play in the park with my mom and whatever and watch the game, and then we'd go wandering off. One particular Sunday, it was a gay pride. We didn't know this. There was a big parade. I mean, I say big then. It was maybe 100 people, whatever, going down the park. So we were like, oh, look, you know, we thought it was just like a, we saw the balloons and the banners. And so we just started walking along with it, you know. Then my mother was came after us, and she walked. And that's how it was. And I wasn't, I didn't know that I was gay at the time, of course. But then... But it was, I was fortunate enough to have that kind of an experience that I could be myself and a family that loves me regardless, so it was never an issue. So when I was of mind and body at the same time, and I was able to make that connection for myself and to say, this is who I am,
that's what it
I
is.
Had, I was applauded for that. And it was as simple for me coming out was as simple as, did you want that cooked medium or medium rare? That kind of a reaction. It was like, okay.
And that was my experience,
that was
really
too. That.
For me, it was kind of, you know, are you gay? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
But
peace?
But other people, you know, didn't have that experience. Patty went to Baylor, and Baylor...
I was raised Southern Baptist. And, you know, this past week they had a big thing in, I think it was in North Carolina, the Southern Baptist Church convention held a big event to discuss what they call, you know, homosexuality for like 4 days. And they had, you know, 45 speakers whose, if you look on their website, all the bios just scream, I am a straight, I'm super, super straight. Look, I have a wife, I have three kids, you know, I, all this in every little bio. And they talked about us, and not one person was an LGBT person. They had some ex-gays who were speaking.
An ex-gay?
So-called ex-gay.
So-called ex-gay, yes.
That's possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So they wear a different shade of peach?
Yes, that's exactly, I mean, it.
What's an ex-gay?
It's a little faded.
I used to be,
you know,
gay, but yeah. Now I'm what? I'm sad?
Right.
I'm not quite as jovial as I once was. I mean, I don't know what that means.
No, it means that they're now hiding behind a
so
religion that's,
and,
that's
yeah,
wants
on,
to
that's so
force
stupid.
Them to be.
You know, I've said, and nothing pisses me off, and I don't know if I can use that word, but it's too late. More than the fact that there are horrible things going on in the world. Horrible, horrible, horrible things. If you, I don't know what kind of people have never turned on the radio or turned on a television set or opened a newspaper or a magazine, and this is where their focus lies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of people there are. I don't want to know those people, but I just know that there are horrible things, and this ain't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I know with my straight friends that and that have been married for 20 years, and then when the wife's and when I have my gay friends that have been together for 20 years, and now, just now, after 20 years, gets on the knees and said, I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? And my straight friend goes, oh, geez, if my husband got on his knee right now and asked me to marry him, I'd say no. I want out. I just did 20 years of this stuff. Get me out of here. So the sanctity of that is what kills me, because that's always what we're fighting. That supposes that there is no sanctity of marriage between two people of the same sex. But I said the only thing that destroys or challenges the sanctity of marriage is divorce. It has nothing to do with who's getting married.
Sure. And now that we have some Californians in here, let's just like your take on it. You know, Texas has this reputation of being ultra-conservative.
We're number 50.
Yeah, and you guys have a reputation of being ultra-conservative. So
ultra-liberal,
I'm sorry. So outside of the West Hollywood area, what's it like just in a
lynching.
General...
No, and I say that because literally you can go 20 minutes outside of that. I mean, I live on the West Side. I'm West Hollywood. There's Beverly Hills. There's Malibu. There's all of that. And that's my L.A. But L.A. is
huge.
Huge. So when, you know, don't forget, that's a county. And each these are all little, these are cities within this county. So mm-hmm. when people say I'm from L.A. and you go, well, where? You know, but everybody, there's a different mentality. But that's anywhere. You know what?
Well,
we have
most
to understand,
people, the stereotype of Dallas is, oh, right wing conservative. Well,
right.
That's the suburbs. Dallas is one of the most
completely
democratic
different.
Cities.
Well, let me tell you,
totally
the bluest place in Texas yeah. is right.
It really
here.
Is.
And I'll tell you something. I've been spending a lot of time in Texas the last few years. Some of my greatest friends are in Houston. I visit them all the time. They come visit me in L.A. I spend time at their place in River Oaks, and then they have a place up in Canyon Lake. And they actually flew into this event mm-hmm. To support it yesterday. And I, through them, they're straight, you know, a wonderful couple that's been married for years. And the most loving, I call him Big Papa and she's Tiger, and they're just buddies. And they're amazing people, you know. And everyone I've met, I've never had a finger pointed at me, mm-hmm. because you have to go beyond that. So there are great people everywhere. There are idiots, sure. in L.A. There are jerks everywhere you go.
Yeah,
but there are the most amazing people. And Texas, I've never been to a more welcoming place that's laid back, relaxed. They welcome you. They have fun. They know how to eat. They know how to drink. They know how to laugh. They know how to dance. They know how to dress. I mean, jeez.
And we haven't even gotten a death
LA
threat in years.
We haven't.
We haven't had a death threat in years.
You know? So,
although that used to be the regular thing.
But we don't give enough credit is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And speaking of
we can
straight
be guilty,
people.
Just let me finish this.
Oh, go ahead.
We can be as guilty as somebody else for stereotyping people. So it's just you have to judge people by the strength of their character, the size of their heart. Everything else, we can pick and choose who we want to surround ourselves with. But the minute that we start grouping people together, we're in a lot of trouble. And we have no choice, no voice, if we start doing the same thing.
Speaking of straight people, that's who's donated to this show so far.
Yeah,
we need some gay people, some lesbians,
queens,
some transgender people, some bisexual people to call in and give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. It would be nice if some gay people supported the gay show. I think it's great that straight people support the show
support
and listen
anonymously.
To it. Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, they can.
And we've had many.
And we do
years.
Have that kind of income, so come on.
I think we do need to re-point out that the best talk show that we won was in a straight paper, not the gay
right,
paper.
Right, it was not in the gay paper that we won best talk show in Dallas.
Yeah. So. Why is that, David? Why is it that we've never won best radio show?
We don't. Really? Well, yeah, this is kind of a radio category. We kind of don't
now,
fit
they're,
into that.
Absolutely, is a radio category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But our show kind
come
of.
On.
Yeah. You know, we'll
I've always wondered that.
We'll revisit that in January when we start talking about those awards. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Doc's standing by. Josh is standing by. Chris is standing by. Yep. Bill is standing by.
And, you know, one way that you can counter what's happening tonight in Houston, speaking of Texas and straight people and gay people, is to support our show, 972-647-1893. A donation to our show is supporting our community, while Tony Perkins and all of those folks from the Family Research Council and a bazillion others, uber right-wing haters, are gathering in Houston tonight to basically spend an evening of condemnation of
us. I love this. So all of them sued Denise Parker, their mayor,
yep. mm-hmm.
About this ordinance, a non-discrimination ordinance. So she said, fine, she subpoenaed things. How dare she?
I know.
Religious discrimination. Well, no, you sued her, and what you do when you're sued is you subpoena some records.
Exactly. So. But now she's
backed
those.
Off on
yeah.
some of it. Yeah.
But, I mean, just a quick recap of that. I mean, they passed the HERO, the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance. The right wing's very upset about it. We've had ours for 12 years.
More.
Something like that. That's basically
more.
The same thing or more.
Yeah.
And when nobody's really peeped about it. But they're having this hullabaloo in Houston because they want to, you know, give equal rights to those people.
When in fact, it covers everybody.
Right.
And
the,
not just
and
us.
The right wing raised this whole issue of getting petitions and petition signatures to put it to the vote on a ballot this November, and they messed up. They didn't have enough valid signatures. And so what
they
she's
didn't
asking
mess up.
For.
They did fraud.
Yes, they did. Because this, the charter for the city of Houston says you have to be an eligible voter in the city of Houston to get the petition signatures.
You can't make up names like they did.
Yeah, and so they knew the rules, and now there's like video out there. There's all kinds of speeches they've made to their supporters. They knew the rules. They're telling the rules to the people. You must be a voter in the city of Houston in order to collect signatures. You know, so they knew the rules, and so why they're suing about this petition, I think is really really nuts. So anyway, but they're further protesting this evening and probably going to call us all kinds of things. And so a great way to counter that is to support Lambda Weekly at 972-647-1893.
And a number several straight people have. We need some gay people to
Thank
do that.
You.
972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We're talking to Joey Santos. Joey lives in California. He is a chef for celebrities. You cook for some people just on a very, very regular basis, just Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I have. Well, I have different clients, and so I schedule my my time, because my motto is I say yes to everything, then I figure it out later. You know, I mean, I think I have one client that's in Malibu, and they're Monday through Friday. And the great thing is that they have one meal every day, and that's at 3 o'clock. So I'm able to run in there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, get it all together, and then it's served, you know, and then I can dash to my other client. I have some clients that are on a meal plan. So I basically have taken what their requirements are, what their food restrictions and things like that, and then I base a menu around their lifestyle, and then I have that delivered to them sometimes 7 days a week, depending on the client, 5 days a week. I mean, I was born with natural energy, so for me, it's very easy for me to get up and go.
Well, can you imagine sitting in an office all
no.
day? Right, exactly.
No,
so
I can barely sit on a plane.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm constantly like, can I help you serve that? Mm-hmm. Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef? Elbows? You know, I'm bored out of my mind. You know?
So do you have a team that helps you out with all this running around?
Yeah, I do. I usually do all the cooking myself for the most part. I have a sous chef. And then we do have some delivery guys that, and they're really cute. Actually, they go ahead and they, you know, pick it up and drop it off.
And so, I should say we're pretty lucky then that you stayed in your chair this whole.
So oh yeah, far. No, this is great. Like this,
minutes.
I can do it. But I mean, without, you know, I'm just going to make you something later.
I would love.
No,
it.
But you know, I'm not an idle person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and I love to be around people, and I love to work, and I love to create things, and so for me it's what I do, and I never look at it as it's never a chore for me ever. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge at times, but it's never a chore, and I like a challenge. So
a part of your business is you have to feed people who are, and as part of their business is concerned about how they look.
Correct.
And so one of your clients is known about the look industry, and that is former supermodel
Janice Dixon.
Yeah. How is it working with her?
Well, she's not really a client. I have cooked for Janice. She's a personal friend for over 10 years. But I've done a lot of work with her, like when she was having her modeling agency TV show, and I provided on that show. I made sure that she stuck on a really serious regimen. I also put the models on the show on their regimen, food regimen, you know, to keep them looking great. And she's amazing. She loves to eat, you know, and she'll eat anything. But what she does is she works out like a horse. You know, she's in that gym without fail every morning at 8 o'clock. She's doing yoga. She's doing weights. She's doing cardio. You know,
and she
is in that
like
beauty
me.
Business. And, you know, and that is the toughest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a model and you've got that thing to, you know, to put out there. And especially, she's 59 years old, and she doesn't mind me saying this because, you know, it's fact. And she looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that she thinks and the way that she conducts her life is exactly with that sort of, you know, conviction that I've got to look good until I don't. She, even in the box, she wants to look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of misconception about Janice is she's probably the most loyal friend, one of the most loyal friends I've ever had. Got a tremendous sense of humor, the most fun you can ever have with a person. Mm-hmm. And she has fought a lot of demons publicly, privately. I've been blessed to have taken the road with her as a friend, you know, and held her hand through it and mm-hmm. been her champion. As she's been mine in life, you know. There's nothing like a great friend. And she gets that thing of, oh, she's just crazy.
You know, she plays a great loon.
She plays it because she's not crazy. She is crazy fun, and she's crazy in love with her kids and her everything that she does in charities. She jumps on for every single thing, you know.
We have just a few minutes. And, you know, Doris was our guest last week, Doris mm-hmm. Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond. And she called in earlier on the show today because she's in for the fundraiser that Bob Williams was here for, also for Ranch Hand Rescue, which is one of our favorite organizations. How do you know Doris?
Doris, I've met back in 1985. I was pretty much a kid at the time. She had done a few pieces of work with my father, I think Remington Steele and a couple of other TV shows. Mm-hmm. And then they were also studying together, and an actor's life, it's always you're constantly honing your craft. Mm-hmm. So no matter how successful you are, how much work you've done, there's always time for improvement. I look at it with my career as well. And they were going to the Beverly Hills Playhouse together, she and my dad. And I met her then. I also studied there later on. And we've been friendly. And then hadn't seen her for many years. And then I was at a dinner party a few years ago. We got saw each other again. And then we've just been good friends ever since. And we literally have dinner together at least once a week at my house where I'll cook. I'll invite 10 people over or so for sit-down dinner. We laugh. We talk. You're always involved. All of you are invited. And we hang around, and then we play next music week, yep. And sing and talk and laugh and tell stories and eat and drink and, you know, commiserate and have a ball. And that's every week. So
it is pledge drive.
We're going to have to do the show from California sometime.
Yes, so we can.
I think that's a good idea.
There we go.
My kitchen.
Do you know, the last time we did an out-of-town show was 1993. We broadcast from the March on Washington. I had a cell phone that was this big, and I'm indicating the size of a brick, with four batteries so that it would last throughout the show. Nobody understood what we were doing, because they had never seen a cell phone, but that was the last time we broadcast from out of town, so we do need to do that.
Yeah, and you're welcome to.
It is Pledge Drive, so give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. If you're waiting till after the show, you can call us after the show, and it'll still count for our show.
We have Election Day coming up on Tuesday, and I urge everyone within listening distance who's hearing the show, who hasn't already, to vote on Tuesday. In Texas, you must vote where you are registered. So if you are registered in a precinct near your home, in your home's in that neighborhood.
And bring your driver's license with you.
Bring your driver's license.
And if your address now does not match your voter registration address, you're going to have to fill out some paperwork, unless they do what they did where I was and just made me tell them what my registration address was. And I didn't have to
fill anything. It's just one little sheet of paper. I had to do it.
But it's not a provisional ballot.
No.
It will count.
Yes.
Look up your registration at dallascountyvotes.org. Find out where your location is and go there to vote. Don't waste any time thinking where you might know where it is. Look it up. Go there and vote.
And if you need a ride to the polls, you can call the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. They're both shuttling people to the polls. We are completely out of time. Joey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joey. This was so fun.
Fantastic show.